Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Jim, how you doing?
Good, Anita. How you doing?
All things considered, I'm doing okay. You know, I think at least the majority of people I know have kind of like found their pandemic life and whatever routine that might hold for them. You know, and I'm doing okay. My dogs are happy. They're like, somebody pinch me. When is she going to leave? Like she's here. She's still here. Oh my gosh. She's still here. So.
No, I kind of worry about mine when I have to leave again. She, you know, my kids, my family all joke that her name should have been Shadow because she tells me everywhere I go. So I just worry now after 3 months at home when I do have to leave what that's going to be like.
You just make her emotional support animal because we all know emotionally. I'll be quite honest with you right now. I don't know if I would have been able to deal with the last 3 months as well as I have if I didn't have my dogs. Jim.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine.
They got me. They helped me get through this. And I'm being really straight, honest.
Oh no question. They're family, you know. So I'm not surprised by that at all. I think anyone who has a pet and is close to their pet would feel the same way. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
All right, let's start with Roger Goodell's video that dropped last night and kind of took not just social media, but I think it took the world by storm. NFL, one of the most powerful organizations on the planet, admitting they were wrong. What were your thoughts when you first saw the video, Jim?
Truthfully, that it was long overdue. That this was a conversation, obviously, that started 4 years ago when Colin first took a knee. And the NFL got it wrong, in my opinion, in 2016. And so here was a chance to have a do-over to some degree. And I don't want anyone to minimize that because I understand that there's still the issue that Colin doesn't have a job in the NFL. So I'm not in any way minimizing that. But I'm saying the league had an opportunity here to admit that it made a mistake, that it needs to support its players. It needs to support its players' right to protest, and that the things that these players are fighting for are important, not just for black people, but for all people. So so I felt it was long overdue, and I was happy to see that the commissioner took that step and made that video.
I'm with you. I find the storyline now in regard to what's being reported and the timeline interesting. So wide receiver Michael Thomas from the Saints put the player video together with an individual from the NFL offices who works in the social media department, and apparently Roger Goodell was not aware of it.
Correct.
So now that drops.
But here's what I would say to that, though, Anita. At least as I understand it from folks that I've talked to, there were a lot of folks who were worried about how the commissioner was going to react once he found out that the social media team or the marketing team was involved with this. And his reaction when he did find out was good, you know, that he said good, you know, so he saw it to be a positive, the video that was put together. So to me, that also is a form of progress.
You know, I haven't had a lot of time with Roger Goodell. You know, I don't know him well. I'm assuming that you have, and you know him better than I do. People that
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that. I have not spent a lot of time with Roger Goodell, you know, other than press conferences or that sort of thing. And there have been a couple of league-arranged dinners for media that I've been at with him. But I would not at all say that I know him well or, you know, that I've spent significant quality time with him.
I guess where I'm going with this is you know, I do have friends who work with and for Roger, and they swear by him and love working for him. And, you know, but I find it, you know, obviously he works for the 32 owners who happen to be some
correct
of the most powerful men in the country.
Are you
hearing anything in regard to how the owners have felt or have responded in regard to, A, the players' video and Rodgers' response?
I think, like with any of these incidents, it depends on who you talk to. You know, we often present it as the owners thinking as a monolith, you know, all of one mind. And I can tell you for a fact that they don't all think the same way. Now, ultimately, at the end of the day, they may vote the same way, because often what happens from a business standpoint is that if there is division among the owners, whatever the vote is that the majority wants, then all of the owners typically agree to vote so that it's unanimous. So it looks like they come out as a unified front. But I can tell you from my experiences and my conversations with various owners, they do not all think the same way. Some have been, distressed is too strong a word, but have shaken their heads at some of the things and positions that the league is taking as it relates to social justice, even going back to 2016 through now. So, you know, I think, Anita, what's going on is you can no longer, I think, try and minimize what's taking place, not just in this country, but in this world. I mean, if you turn on your television this morning and you see what's happening in London, mm-hmm. you see what's taking place in Amsterdam and other places, this is not just a national problem. It is an international problem, and folks are getting involved. So at some point, you know, and we were saying this back in 2016, you know, the league, the owners were going to have to ask themselves, do you want to be on the right side of history? And I think that at this point, they're almost being forced to be on the right side of history, because I can tell you these players feel empowered, and they're not going to stand for anyone trying to squash them and their ability to speak out on what is going on in the country. So I applaud the players, and I applaud the league for stepping up and saying we got it wrong, even with our first statement that we put out, and therefore we're going to turn around and do what we feel is right.
Jim Trotter, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Probably the most powerful video I saw this past week was George Floyd's daughter saying, "Daddy changed the world." Wow. Talk about a powerful video. So with that being said, you know, moving forward, words are one thing, Jim. We know that actions are another. Are you hearing anything in regard to the 2018 rule that is in place? Is that going to be removed, that players cannot kneel? Now, I know Adrian Peterson was interviewed on a certain platform. I don't recall which one, and was asked, are players going to kneel? And his response was, yeah, we're all going to kneel. How's Jerry Jones, who's been probably the most active and voice against the kneeling, you know, how is that going to work? How is this all going to play out? More with actions than words, Jim.
The reality is I don't have the answer for you, and I'm not sure that the league even knows at this point. You know, I have had this conversation with a couple of owners, and this was before even a video came out from the players, and I said to them, the league needs to be prepared that these players are not going to sit silently by. And what is going to be the response if they do choose to kneel? And nobody had an answer for that at this point. I think the hope is that there is enough sincere action on the part of the league that maybe players don't feel that is the route to go in terms of creating this any sort of division. And maybe there's another way they want to do it. I do know that, you know, the Players Coalition, it does not get a lot of headlines in terms of the things that it has done, but it has made some significant inroads in minority communities in terms of legislation and whatnot that affect these communities and give back some of the power to these communities. And, you know, I'll give you, for instance, you know, one of the things we talk about with incarceration of young people and having young people tried as adults. You know, if they make a mistake as a teenager, should they pay for that for the rest of their lives behind bars? And so in Michigan, the Players Coalition was part of a group that helped get passage of a law that now lowers the age for does not allow minors to be tried as adults. You know, if you look at it in Louisiana and Florida, they got legislation passed that now restores voting rights to convicted felons, I think 5 years after they come out. And I remember talking to one person. He was 70 years old. He's a former vet. And he had never voted a day in his life. And his 70th birthday was coming up. And for the first time, he was going to be able to step into a voting booth to have a say in what his community was going to look like and who was going to be, you know, some of the decision makers in it. That's huge. You know, it helped pass the Clean Slate Act in Pennsylvania, where they, you know, they get some of these convictions sealed so that it doesn't follow people for the rest of their lives. You know, they've gotten money. I think the number is $1.4 billion in dollars that are going to be infused in the public school system in Massachusetts. So there are a lot of things that the Players Coalition is doing with input from money from the owners, that nearly $90 million that was agreed to as part of their partnership. These are things that are having an impact in communities that we don't focus on. But there is work being done by the players, and we can sit here and debate whether or not, you know, the money that was given by the owners came from a good place or not. And to be truthful with you, the players that I talk to really don't care. All they care is that they're taking that money and doing good work with it.
There's some reports out there, Jim, that the players want to hear from the owners, not just Roger Goodell. And there's a chance that the players are going to release another video trying to speak out to the owners so that the owners will respond. Can you confirm or deny that?
Oh, I can't confirm or deny it, but I'm not surprised by it, and it only makes sense. Look, the owners have the power in this league, and as we talk about with the hiring or lack of hiring of minority GMs and minority coaches and the like, it's not a league problem, league office problem. The league office does not hire or fire coaches or general managers. The owners do. And so the owners should have to step out front, in my opinion, and speak on these issues. It is their league in conjunction and partnership with the players. So I don't blame the players at all for wanting to hear from the owners. And I think that owners should have to step out front and be a part of this if you're serious about change. And I would hope they are. I would hope that none of them believe that racial inequality and systemic discrimination against minorities is something that is okay. So everyone should be held accountable in this, Anita. So I say more power to them.
Again, Jim Trotter joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Jim, before I let you go, I would like to switch the topic to what's going on in regard to the pandemic and the NFL. You know, they've been dead set saying, like, they're going to start on time in September. I find that really hard to believe. All along I've been saying, I just realistically, just to kind of get their ducks in order and make sure that they are as safe as possible, and because there's so many factors here. There's so many things that the league, there's so many boxes, right, that the league is going to have to check to make sure that they can get they can get the season started and started properly and started safe. Quarantining and whatnot, and how they're going to handle staff, and heck, Jim, how they're going to handle media, right? Like, are you going to be allowed in the press box? Are you going to, more than likely, you're not going to be able to do post game interviews. More than likely, you're not going to be able to allowed to go into the locker room. So I'm curious, what are you hearing in regard to the start of the season and realistically when we can expect that?
Really nothing, a lot and nothing, if that makes sense. Everyone is speculating about what's going to happen. And obviously we've been asked not to speculate, but you hear all sorts of things. The problem, Anita, is I don't know what's true, and I'm not sure anyone else does. You know, those conversations are taking place with people whose pay grade is far above mine. So here's what I have said for some time, and I will stand by this. I think the one thing that the NFL has working for it is that it has time relative to other pro sports leagues. And I think it will look at what happens with, for instance, the NBA when it opens up, with Major League Baseball if it comes back prior to September, and it will take its lead from there. If there are no hiccups from those leagues opening up, then I think the NFL proceeds on schedule as planned. Now, I still don't know what that will look like. I don't know if that means that there are no fans in the stands. I don't know if it means a limited number. I don't know what it means, as you were just alluding to, in terms of press coverage or post-game coverage, all of those things. you know, have to be answered. But at this point, I think the owners have made it fairly clear that, they are planning to proceed on schedule, barring something happening that changes their minds.
It will be interesting to see how this all, I mean, our world changed overnight, didn't it? I mean,
oh,
I was talking to a friend, like, you know, I was at dinner on a Wednesday night, you know, planning my huge birthday celebration out in Napa and Sonoma. And then all of a sudden, that was on a Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, we weren't allowed out of our homes. So,
well, we were actually the week before, we were preparing to leave for London for a week on a family vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And just my wife said, you know, I'm just not comfortable leaving now. And if we had left, we would have been stranded in London because that was at the time where they stopped travel. So, no, absolutely everything changed. And I don't know what our new normal is going to look like when it starts back up. I just know that it won't be what it was. And maybe in some cases that's good in some respects, in some areas. And by that, I mean, clearly I'm talking about this country's consciousness being awakened by what's taking place now. And to see people stepping out and fighting to make a difference now.
You know, I referred to it as the perfect storm in regard to how we got here. I know the pandemic has taken us on a left turn, but I think it's the combination of everything we've been experiencing the last 3 months. And you mentioned the players are empowered now, and there's a reason for that. I think it's because of all that we've gone through with the pandemic. I rip the millennial generation a lot, Jim. I commend them, right? Like when have we ever seen, and let's give credit to Generation X as well. Like, when have we ever seen, young men and women come together like we have in the past 2 weeks? And it's very moving, and it's helping, and it's creating this sense of power and empowerment, and which is of course bleeding into what we're seeing happen in the NFL. So, you know,
Anita, I'm sorry to cut you. I just want to make sure I say this. People just need to stay engaged whenever, you know, this sort of subsides, if you will. People need to stay engaged and be intentional about what they're doing. And for me, it starts in the home and it carries on to the ballot box. And these young people hopefully get out and vote. Because the one thing I heard back in 2016, you heard a lot of, well, I don't like either presidential candidate, so I'm not voting. And the reality is there are a lot of things on that ballot besides, you know, the presidential election that affect communities of color and whatnot. So I'm just hopeful that people stay engaged, they get committed, and then they hold people accountable, you know, and we have a history here of getting engaged and being, you know, wound up, and then all of a sudden we sort of recede back into everyday life. And I just pray that we all stay engaged and start to hold people accountable.
Jim, it's always great to hear your voice, my friend. I'm glad that you and your family are safe, and thank you for spending time with us this Saturday afternoon.
No, Anita, anytime. Always my pleasure.
You're
listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.